From LeagueSafe World Headquarters, it's Fantasy Football Almost Daily. With Paul Charchia.
He's bare-chested and banging his chest.
Christian Peterson.
Waving his arms.
Matt Harrison.
Some goofball in a hat.
And Brian Jones.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
Hi, everyone. It's Fantasy Football Almost Daily. It's Friday. Let's talk some DraftKings. I'm Matt Harrison. Brian Johnson is alongside me. What's up?
What's up, Matt? Let's talk DraftKings, like you said.
Yeah. Wild card week. Four games. Should be quick and easy. Fairly painless.
Let's do it.
How do you want to go? You want to go position by position? You want to go matchups?
Let's just shoot the S. Let's talk game by game.
All right. Maybe. Cool. All right. Oakland and Houston. What are you using in this game?
It's easy. Lamar Miller plus Houston D or Latavius Murray plus Oakland D.
You're just hoping one way or the other.
You just pick on both of these piss-poor quarterbacks and pair the defense with the running back. I hear Lamar Miller is feeling fully healthy.
Yeah, he's not listed on the final injury report this week, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, he said 2 weeks off. I know these teams did play each other about a month or two ago. Miller had over a hundo and a touchdown. Brock Osweiler is broken.
I saw that Miller has had four touchdowns in his last three games against the Raiders.
Yeah, it's a great matchup. It's definitely the path of least resistance is on the ground against Oakland. So I do like Miller here. We'll talk about Le'Veon Bell, who is almost an auto play. But, yeah, Miller, pair the running backs and the defense. That's the only way I'm going here. C.J. Fedorowicz is also in play for me just because Osweiler leans on him a ton.
Yep.
And Oakland is a good matchup for tight ends. But outside of that, you'll be tempted. You'll find yourself with, you know, like 5,200 left, and you'll be like, oh, Amari Cooper, he's a great player. But
yeah,
I'm not trusting anyone Connor Cook is throwing the ball to. So
so we should mention their prices, by the way. Lamar Miller, 6,100. Latavius Murray's 5,000. That's cheap. That's just dirt cheap.
Yeah, Del Rio, it was weird. He was quoted saying, like, I don't even know how Latavius Murray only got whatever amount of carries he got last week. He was as dumbfounded as we were. But you're the coach, dude. Yes, you have an offensive coordinator, but you can override him at times.
Well, to be fair, he was a linebacker in his playing days, so maybe he doesn't pay attention to the offense.
Yeah, he hears some ringing in his ears at times, I'm sure, too. But he wants Murray to get the ball more. So I think both of these teams – the quarterback is not going to win it for them. It's going to be
so
the ground game.
We're completely staying off the quarterback. You're definitely not going DeAndre Hopkins at 6,700. He's had no chemistry with Osweiler basically all year. And then, like you said, Cooper and Crabtree. Crabtree's 5,300. Cooper's 5,200. It seems like a trap.
Whatever team scores a touchdown is going to win this game probably. That's how it's going to go. So
it's an Admiral Akbar game for sure.
Exactly.
All right, let's move on to the next game then. It's Detroit and Seattle. A little bit more interesting on this side. What do you think of the running game specifically here? Because Thomas Rawls is 5,700. That's fairly inexpensive for a running back. I mean, it's a little bit less than Lamar Miller. But Zach Zenner is 4,500. And I'm blanking on his name. Theo Riddick is gone for the season now.
Yeah, Zenner is the only running back in this game I'll contemplate using.
And it's tough because he's on the road in Seattle, and Seattle's a good run D.
They are a good run D. Zenner's proven he can catch the ball. I think Dwayne Washington is all but dead to Detroit at this point. I don't see him as much of a threat. He'll get like five carries tops in this one. So Zenner's touches are guaranteed. He's going to have to earn his yards and or touchdowns in this one. But I don't mind him. But as for Rawls, I don't know. He's just – Detroit's got a good run D.
They do.
And Alex Collins has shown signs of life, so I would rather pay up for a little more for Miller all day long or pay down for some guys we'll mention later. So I'm not really touching the running game for Seattle here. I mean, Russell Wilson is in play, of course, as is Doug Baldwin, Jimmy Graham. Detroit was giving up, what, like two touchdowns per game to tight ends earlier in the year. I think they buttoned that up a little bit.
Yeah, totally buttoned it up. It was kind of crazy.
But I think Graham's kind of flying under the radar here. So for me, it's almost more of a stack scenario for the Seahawks, but you got to like Wilson here, Baldwin, Graham. And I do like Paul Richardson, even though Seattle signed Devin Hester, and it sounds like he's going to be – well, if you sign
returning
Devin Hester,
punts and kicks.
That's why you're signing him, right?
You're not putting him on the practice squad or the bench.
Right.
I mean, he's going to be returning their kicks.
So that takes some of the luster off of Richardson if you're going to use him and pair him with Seattle's defense. But I still like him just as a receiver at 3,400. He's dirt cheap. You'll find yourself needing a player in that price range for sure. But for Detroit, too, I think these are guys – it depends how many lineups you use, but even if you're only doing a couple, I think – just throwing a Lions stack out there is in your best interest because people will be off of it. But without Earl Thomas, this Seahawks defense isn't nearly the same. So.
Is this one of those situations where you look at a guy like Anquan Boldin, who's cheap down at 4,000, knowing that he's going to be playing out of the slot, almost plays like a tight end half the time?
And yeah.
Yeah.
It's slot guys and tight ends have the most success against the Seahawks. And Boldin is more than familiar with playing in Seattle. From his days with the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Those days are a little behind us now, but...
they're long gone.
Still, it wasn't that long ago, right? Yeah. 3 years ago. So, yeah, Boldin is in play. We got Golden Tate. Revenge game, baby. You know, That's true. We love that here. I can't see him getting shadowed by Sherman, maybe. But I'm not so sure how much that scares me, to be honest with you. I mean, Tate is all over the field, so Sherman is going to have to step out of his comfort zone to shadow him. So... yeah, and then we mentioned tight ends have had success against the Seahawks, too. So Ebron is also a viable option here. So I don't shy away from the Lions just because they're in Seattle. I mean, it's kind of ingrained in everyone's brain to not trust anyone in Seattle. But this Seattle team is not nearly as intimidating as it's been in the past. So
well, the problem is the Detroit team hasn't been putting up points basically since Stafford got hurt. 24 last week against Green Bay. 21 the week before, 6 the week before that, 20 the week before that. And really, you have to go back to the New Orleans game in week 13 where they actually put up 28 points. So,
yeah, it's dicey. It's sort of contrarian. And really, if you're only doing one or two lineups, I can't encourage you to use the Lions too much. But if you're a multiple lineup guy, you definitely need to throw a Lions stack in there. Even if you do 100 lineups, I would say do that. But I wouldn't tell you to throw a Brock Osweiler or Connor Cook stack in there because I don't believe
sure.
in that and all. But there is some hope for Detroit, but it will be tough. But it'll be an interesting game. I think they will put up points, but not as much as one team I hope will put up a ton of points we'll get to in a minute, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah?
But not just
we
yet.
We won't get to them yet because
like
we want to talk
minutes.
About Miami and Pittsburgh.
We do.
To me, it seems like – and by the way, Ryan Tannehill practiced – today. It doesn't seem like he's still going to play he unless some kind of miracle happens. But if Ryan Tannehill does play, what does it change in your philosophy in this game? Because you're looking at either a healthy Matt Moore, who's not completely terrible, he's just a NFL run-of-the-mill backup quarterback, but you have a Ryan Tannehill who's in my mind a lower third quarterback that's injured. Does it do anything? Are you just off the passing game completely?
I'm shocked to hear that he practiced.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was pretty much all but ruled out for this one. So that's how I'm approaching it. But to answer your question, I don't care, really. It doesn't change my prospects on anyone for Miami. It's not like Tannehill is a huge upgrade over Matt Moore. We know how much you love Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, I hate Ryan Tannehill.
I know you do. And I pretty much do.
He
but I love him in the right
hamster
spots.
Or anything, but yeah.
Right. But this doesn't seem like the right spot, but I don't think he'll play. But if Miami has any hope in this game, it's Jay Ajayi carrying the ball 25 times for well over 100 yards. So, and that's possible. Pittsburgh's run D has faded a little bit in the last month. So, you know, just to backtrack game theory on a high level this weekend, you have to throw your normal thinking out the window, like where you would, in a regular season game, you would never consider playing two running backs in the same game. On different teams.
Okay.
But not so much this week. You certainly can use Le'Veon Bell and Jay Ajayi.
Well, Ajayi, you got to remember, too, had 204 yards and 2 scores against Pittsburgh in week 6.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the first game where he broke out right there,
definitely.
Too.
So I think, I don't know, if people put in Bell and then they're like, well, I can't use Ajayi because I got Bell, throw that out the window. You can use them both for sure. I plan on doing it because there aren't that many running backs guaranteed 20-plus carries in this game, and those two are the leading candidates to do that. So I have no problem using both of those in the same lineup. And then for me, other Dolphins, Landry is what, 51?
51, and Parker's 42.
Yeah, I'm not going out of my way to get Landry in my lineups, but I know I've fallen in that price range, and I would certainly rather play Landry over Crabtree or Cooper, who are right above him
yeah.
in the price range. That's me personally. I mean, there's going to be more points in this game than there will be in Houston and Oakland. So I like Landry. Parker, no, I'd rather go Stills because he's like 36, I believe.
38.
So I'd rather just take the cheaper option there. And Stills has shown more signs of life than Parker recently. So for me, it's really Ajayi, Landry, Stills are the guys I'm trying to use.
On the Pittsburgh side is Le'Veon Bell. He's 10,300. So that the price kind of prohibits everybody from going in on him, but is everybody still going to go in on him? Is he going to be 50, 60% owned in these contests?
I bet he's more like 70, 80. I don't know. I don't know how you fade
him. So you can't fade him.
You can't. Like, I'll fade him, but I'm going to do a lot of lineups.
Yeah.
But I think that's the only way you can do it. If you're a one lineup guy and you're willing to, you have to be willing to lose all the money you put on DraftKings.
Sure.
Opinion. Like, just like when you walk into a casino, right? But, that's the ultimate contrarian play this weekend is not using Le'Veon Bell. But I've built some lineups. You can get Ben, Bell, and Brown in the same lineup. Absolutely. You got to go cheap everywhere else. But, yeah, I don't know how you fade Bell in this game. Everything's going to go through him.
All right, so let's talk about the other guys you mentioned, Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is 9,400, and Ben Roethlisberger is 76. Roethlisberger is the second most expensive quarterback this week behind Aaron Rodgers, and he's got a big green 28th.
Yeah.
Staring him in the face, and no Byron Maxwell playing for the Dolphins, and that's pretty big for Antonio Brown as well.
That is key, and I think well, obviously Bell will be far and away the most owned running back, and I think Roethlisberger will be the most owned quarterback, and it is hard to get all three, and so as you mentioned, with Maxwell out, this is an amazing matchup for Brown right now, and I don't think his ownership percentage is going to reflect that.
Yeah.
Because so many people are going to be on Bell and Roethlisberger, so you want to get Antonio Brown in, even if it's using those guys.
So is it more important for you to get Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell in your lineup?
It's tough. I was about to say.
That's the question of the day.
You better have one of these two in your lineup,
so,
if not both.
So you're,
but yeah.
Let's say you're making one lineup and you can't budget it both ways.
If I'm making one lineup to take down a GPP,
yeah,
you fade Bell and you go Brown.
Really? Interesting.
Well, because I don't know.
You
Bell's
going to
be 70% owned,
yeah-ish,
and Brown will be about half of that.
Mm-hmm.
35, 40, maybe 50%. So, you know, we preach contrarianism all the time here. So if you're doing one and you're trying to be super contrarian, you know, I think you fade Bell and you go Brown just because he'll be about half as owned as Bell in this one. But
Bell and Brown had terrible days in that early matchup with Miami back in week 6. I believe Brown only had 4 catches for like 30-some yards. Le'Veon Bell had 10 carries for 53 yards, but in the receiving game, he had 7 catches for 55.
Can we check? That was the game that Roethlisberger got hurt, was it not?
I think it was the game that Roethlisberger got hurt in.
Like, but it was pretty fairly early on in the game, right?
He passed for... He had quite a few attempts in that game.
Did he? All right, I might be remembering that wrong.
It was the game he got hurt in because he didn't play the following week, but he had 34 pass attempts in that game.
Yeah, that was definitely a weird game that no one saw coming, but I'm pretty much not paying attention to that game log, though.
Yeah, it's weird because you can kind of cite it with Jay Ajayi and go, okay, he had a really good game against this defense, and the only thing that's really changed for the Dolphins is Tannehill's not there.
Yep.
And you can look at it from the Pittsburgh perspective and throw it out the window at the same time. So it's kind of one way or the other, and I don't really know how to treat it.
I don't really know either. But no one knows how to treat anything in a 4-card slate. It's very tough. But I think this could be – I don't know about the weather will be like, but Sunday is where all the points are going to be.
Yeah.
So this game and the name we'll talk about next is where you want to – build your players. But just to talk about Pittsburgh a little more, I know Eli Rogers is at $4,000.
Yeah.
That seems like a great price for him in this spot. Miami's secondary is not very good. So there's Eli Rogers. Ladarius Green has yet to be cleared from concussion protocol. He probably will be. So basically you can game stack this one. And again, the main takeaway for me here is don't be afraid to use Bell and Ajayi in the same lineup. Throw that conventional wisdom out the door, because that applies in the regular season, but not so much here.
All right. Let's talk about the last game. You're going to be there in Lambeau Field in the third row of section 1-something.
129. Same section I sat in 5 years ago, so I'll be back.
So all you podcast listeners.
I believe
listeners,
they painted my seat gold, even though it's a bench. It's not actually a seat.
So all you podcast listeners who are in section 129 of Lambeau Field, you know, on Sunday, go say hi to Brian, the guy in the Giants shirt down in row 3.
I don't know what I'll wear. Maybe I'll wear my Eli jersey. Eli is one sexy beast like me.
So?
But yes, I will be there. But we're going to put my biases aside here.
Oh, really? Can you?
I can, even though I'm going to say I'm barely going to play any Packers because I hate the matchup for any of them. So let's start there. For me, it's Jared Cook, and that's it.
Yeah?
I don't know. I know people are actually giving Giants credit or a chance in this one, unlike the years past, but their defense is legit. And I don't know. I think people just still have to gravitate towards Jordy and Rogers, but they're a hard fade for me in this one. And Geronimo Allison was intriguing. He was like 3,300.
Mm-hmm.
Been playing really well with Cobb on the sideline, but Randall Cobb supposedly will play in this one. If he's active, I'm off Geronimo.
You're jumping off Geronimo?
Yeah. But I don't know. If for whatever reason Cobb sits, then Geronimo's definitely in play. Geronimo is the same price as Paul Richardson, so that's kind of a nice little – you can pivot back and forth even though the Seahawks play on Saturday. But for now, you can build lineups with both and wait for further word on Cobb. But yeah, for me, I don't know. These teams have – they played each other earlier in the year, so they've seen each other.
Yeah, it was a pretty low-scoring affair earlier in the year.
It was a low-scoring affair. I think it's safe to say the Giants' defense has gotten better since then and the Packers has gotten worse. So yep. I'm just kind of off. Even if I wasn't a Giants fan or if I wasn't going to the game, I would be off the Packers in this game, I swear to God. But I like Cook's matchup and his price. I've put him in the flex a lot at 3,600. He's been playing pretty well, and that's basically been the best matchup on paper against the Giants is the tight end. So
all right, so let's flip over to your team's side, the G-men. Are you just stacking a whole bunch of Eli, Beckham, Shepard, Will Ty lineups? Is there going to be just a crap load of stacks for you in this?
Why not, right? I mean, Packers defense isn't good. Secondary isn't good.
No, it's not.
And
It's been very banged up all year, too.
Everyone's been putting up numbers against them. And I'm not too worried about this boat trip in Miami on Monday. I don't know what the difference between those guys hanging out in Miami, what's the difference between them hanging out in New York on their off day. And let's not forget, they're like 24 years old. You don't get hangovers when you're 24 years old.
Wait, you don't?
Well, I didn't.
Wow.
I certainly do now, 12 years later. Shit, 12 years later. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. Giants have gone in. Speaking of, great stat, postseason wins at Lambeau in their career, Eli has 2. Rogers has 2.
Oh, well, they're even.
Who's played more games there? I think Rodgers, probably.
Probably.
But anyway, I don't know how contrarian it'll be because people are giving them a chance, but I know Beckham's going to be fired up. You mentioned Will Ty. Will Ty's the one guy under 3K that's the only person in play, obviously, for me. Or not obviously, basically, on the whole slate. There's not a lot of options under 3K, including tight ends, but Will Ty's there. He dropped about a 60-yard touchdown when these teams met earlier. But, yeah, Ty, Shepard, Beckham, Eli. I can't go as far as Victor Cruz yet, though. He's just kind of like it's a formality, him being on the field at this point for me.
Okay, so let's get down to some of the guys that the most expensive guys this week are Le'Veon Bell at 10.3, Antonio Brown at 9.4, and Beckham at 9.1. Rank them as to how you would put them in your lineup.
Yeah. It's tough. Bell, I think, I don't know, you can approach this from so many different ways. It depends how many lineups you have, but I think Brown will be the least owned of those three. So if I'm doing like the one to win it all, I would go Brown first, I guess, because there are other options. Well, there are other options for Pittsburgh other than Brown, of course, but just because his ownership percentage would be the lowest of the three, I would go him. And then probably Bell, just because his touches are guaranteed. And I'd rank Beckham third, just because he's the main threat for the Giants. Whatever the Packers can do to limit him, they will do. But so that leaves Shepard, Will Tye, maybe Victor Cruz. But we didn't even talk about Perkins and Jennings, two guys that are also pretty cheap, even though they're in timeshare. So the Giants have other options who might have more room to roam because of Beckham. So I'll go Brown, Bell, Beckham. Why not? So real quick on Jennings and Perkins. You see they have the prices there? Is it 4,200 and 41?
If memory... Perkins is 41 and Jennings is 42. Yeah,
that's tough. That's a coin flip. Perkins was kind of the de facto lead back, it seemed, towards the end of the year. And because Jennings got more carries in Week 17 in a game that didn't matter to the Giants, it seems like they're preserving Perkins a little more. So I would lean Perkins slightly if picking...
Perkins had 21 carries for 102 yards in Week 17.
Did
though.
He?
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, how many did Jennings have?
Jennings had...
I didn't really know what
18 carries for 52 yards and a touchdown. So he got the touchdown, got... They basically split carries. They had, between them, 40 touches in the game.
Yeah, you want to go crazy. Real contrarian? It's use both of them in the Giants' defense, maybe.
That's real
Just
contrarian.
Don't forget out there, the Giants' defense is it's still hard for me to believe as a Giants fan how good this defense is, but it is legit. And it was ranked second by Football Outsiders by DVOA. I plan on using them this week. I mean, everyone thinks the Packers are unstoppable, but they got a lot of pressure on them. They know they've lost to the Giants twice the last two postseasons they faced at Lambeau Field. So I still don't know what to do if I'm picking between Perkins and Jennings, though. I feel like Perkins will be a little bit more popular because he's cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't know. They both seem like decent plays, but going both would be pretty ballsy. But I don't know. What can I say? Let's go Giants, right? Go Giants and go you guys. Win some money out there.
Go you guys. All right, I'm trying to fill out a lineup. It's too hard to fill out a lineup with this little amount of time to really put it away. Right now, my lineup consists of Eli, Lamar, Perkins, Antonio Brown, and Beckham, because I want to try to fade Bell and go for it all, hope things happen well. I don't have one wide receiver slotted in there. I have Will Tye as my tight end, and I have Texans D. And I have 4,300 left for each position, well, 8,600 left overall. And I have a wide receiver and a flex to fill. So I'll probably end up filling that out and putting
in
something close to that.
I've done a lot of the Tye and Cook combo.
Yeah.
Two tight ends just because they're so cheap and they got great matchups.
Yeah,
so.
I don't mind that all that much.
So if you put in
So I put Cook, in Cook at 3,600 as my flex. Then that leaves me 5,000 for a wide receiver.
Oh, you're just short of Landry, I think.
But I'm at Shepard if I wanted to go five Giants. Jeez.
Five touchdowns.
We'd have to hope for just like a 44.
Yeah. I'm not hoping for that much, but man, I hope it happens. That's for sure.
But I am in the Devontae Parker range in case they need to air it out, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's
don't be afraid to leave money on the table this week.
Yeah, I'd be leaving 800 on the table there. So, or I could go Eli Rogers too.
As long as guys you're using are going to be on the field, you have a shot this week. It is a crapshoot, but it's fun to play these playoff games for sure.
All right. So that's it. All right. We just downed a podcast.
We did.
Faster than that cool, tasty Coca-Cola you have in your hand.
Yep, Virgin Coke.
Exactly.
Ace wanted to be here. I'll throw that out there. He'll probably listen. He's feeling sick. Maybe we'll get him back next week.
Yeah.
We'll do this next week, right?
Yeah, we'll do another quick one next week. I think we're going to have Mr. John Tuvey back probably Thursday to do another pod down here about just kind of the playoffs overall and how to set your lineups in the CDM Play 3 Challenge. And also the NFFC Super Multiplier Week
Yeah.
You're double
still
down.
Still time to get into that.
Yeah,
that
you should get in both of those suckers. All right, so that's all we got for Brian. This is Matt. Thanks for listening to Fantasy Football Almost Daily.